Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Kryptonian.
Yes. The Kryptonian. The Kryptonian.
I don't know, the Krypton in this movie is a little scary. We'll talk about
that. It is. Hey, wait a minute. Is your voice a little small?
My voice?
Yeah. How does he sound to you, Matt?
Yeah, you sound like a... You're kind of backed away from your microphone.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, the volume of the mixer was down a little bit.
Give us your voice.
Talk like you're sucking cock.
What? Well, on that note.
Sucking cock distance, Mark. Okay, let's start this show over.
Jeez. I didn't know.
Start the show over. Reroll.
Get shit in there, man. You said it, motherfucker. You just brought the violence in me on the show now.
Man. Violence. Oh,
now we can hear him clearly.
Godzilla versus Kong style, bitch. You know? Man, I saw.
Yeah, so I was at Misfit Toys and he gave me this shirt and I almost spat on it.
Is it a Kong shirt? Oh, there you go.
Game Kong. Hell yeah. Daniel knows what's up.
Take this garbage away from me. No,
our boys,
he's the one who lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of won too. It was kind of a draw.
Well, he won one round out of three.
Yeah.
I will say he did better than I thought he would.
Yep.
Misfit Toys. We might be returning there soon. We were just discussing that pre-show. We did a few live shows there back in 2019, and then this massive pandemic has hit the world, and everything got, you can't go near us, it's more than 6 feet, and all that shit. So, but now things are somewhat getting back to some normalcy, and looks like by next year, a lot more things. So I've noticed a lot of concert festivals and stuff planning for 2022, and hopefully things get back to back to normal, as normal as they can. So, and just might have to get a shot in the arm every year to stay healthy, but it is what it is. So, it's a small price to pay, a poke in the arm, then lying in a hospital bed, barely able to breathe, I would think. So, yeah. It's the best way to look at it, right? But good job, Dale, on giving Long that shirt. He's going to wear it.
Yes, thank you,
he's
Daniel.
He's going to wear it proudly. In fact, if we do a show there, you have to wear it now. You have to come in there with your Team Kong shirt. Long's like, hell no, I don't wear a goddamn Godzilla shirt. Did you buy anything at Misfit Toys?
No.
No, you just went and chopped. Went up.
No, the reason why I went was because when I sold a couple of combiners, I forgot to give some of the accessories. So, yeah, I was over there to drop off some accessories that belonged to some of the toys I sold to him.
So. You went to the Hyde store?
Yeah.
I still haven't been to the new one since it opened.
Yeah, it's the new one actually has more higher-end pieces since it's on the Montrose. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of, like, really cool statues and stuff.
Yeah,
and hard-to-find toys.
Go over there and check it out eventually.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff I need to take him to, some stuff in boxes. I'm like, why do I have these toys? Because I know he'll buy them. Even if he doesn't give me much for them, just to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eventually.
This last week, I sold a like 4-character bundle on eBay for like $100. Funko Pop figures.
Really?
And they're WWE, right? WWE characters. And the lady mentioned that she bought it for her son because her son is autistic, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe I have a pop figure that I could give to kind of little bonus for spending that much on the pop figures. So I threw in the Ric Flair Funko Pop to go with the Charlotte Flair pop figure.
Nice.
That they bought. Yeah, so I threw it in there. And then she says, she wrote me a message saying, oh, bless you. You could have made money off this Ric Flair one, but you decided to give it to us. And thank you so much. I'm just trying to complete his collection of WWE pop figures and stuff. Nice. Like, oh, it's all good. Yeah.
You did your good deed for the month, man. That's made good karma be your way.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
It's the way to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Doing the good deeds for the kids of the world. So cool. Good stuff, man. I bought a Boba Fett Black Series figure today.
Yeah, saw that.
It's on the shelf at Walmart. It was the deluxe one with all the accessories. And it's funny, I was just in that Walmart Friday picking up something, and it wasn't there. And today I went to return that pool, and I was like, well, I'm going to stop by the toy section. And I'm like, well, Boba Fett, I got to buy it. I could not leave it. I would have, what if I left it in some person's hands that didn't want it really, and they just, didn't take care of it. But it's still in the box. Yeah, I haven't decided if I'm going
to
open
it. 6-year old that wants to play with it like a regular action figure,
I know. Who wants to play with toys? You got to pose them and put them on the shelf and decorate them.
Not those. Play with toys. Not those, at least. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's what those, little 6-inch action figures are for,
Yeah. But, I miss the 3 3/4-inch line, but I also accept that the new way of toys is deluxe collecting $15 to $23 figures. That's just, everyone's doing it from Hasbro to Bandai to Playmates. That's just the way it is now. It's the market now. It's for collectors and deluxe figures, and I'm trying to embrace it. I've been getting into some Black Series. I bought quite a few this year. I have the Heir to the Empire Luke on pre-order from Entertainment Earth, so I'm coming to grips with a new way of collecting my Star Wars figures instead of the classic 3 3/4-inch. So, but things change. I've got to give a little and change with it, even if I'm not a huge fan of not having my classic figures anymore. But it's okay, because the Black Series figures are really nice. So it is that, they're just a little pricey at times. So
yeah,
the 3 3/4-inch figures, you could buy 3 for $21 instead of 1 Black Series figure, for $20.
So yeah. Oh, speaking of which, man, I should have bought her when I saw it, but there was a Cara Dune figure over at Misfit Toys, and it was loose figure, no box, but he was like asking for $50 for it. And I know it's a lot cheaper than that compared to online prices, but it looked like it was a custom paint too, So I was like, I'll pass. It looked like it was custom painted. Because her uniform's generally, there's no lime green on it, right?
There is a figure that had some green in it. And right now, the retro style Mandalorian figures are hitting the store shelves if you can find them. And there's a Cara in that. It might be with a bit off color, because they did it on purpose to try to give it like a retro look.
Yeah. But the figure I saw was a Black Series figure.
Yeah. So there might have been. So,
Hey, Matt. Speaking of new stuff, what do you think of that electric Ford F-150, huh? It looks pretty cool, huh?
The real F-150 is the 2001 to 2003 SVT 5.4-liter Triton Vortec engine.
I'm talking about the new stuff, Matt.
Oh, Lord, don't get him started, Long. Why would you even go there, man? All right? His cousin already pissed Frank off.
Oh, dude, that was hilarious. Frank,
what?
Dude, he...
Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, you'll have to look at my post, but I was basically just saying that, man, I'm going to miss that, this piston-driven, engine that was basically the Shelby engine that they put in this single cab truck and, called it the Ford Lightning. And I gave it a Roush exhaust, and man, it was mean. It was the truck. It's, if you don't know what it is, it's the truck that Brian drives.
Well, what pissed him off?
Yeah, I don't care about the truck.
Yeah. So Frank comments on it, and this, he kind of makes it political, which there's no need to make it political. It's an engine. I'm talking about an engine.
See, I didn't read Frank's comment as political. Yeah. I read it in Frank's sarcasm type voice. I knew Frank was being sarcasm by it.
And then he said something about a front-wheel drive, and my cousin called him on it because Ford's never made a front-wheel drive truck. And Frank hasn't responded yet. My cousin was pretty savage on it. He burned him.
I read it completely different than you. I read it as Frank was being sarcastic, and I read it as Henry kind of being a straight-laced, doesn't know how to tell a joke, kind of jerk like he is sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just being real. And Henry, if you listen to the show, I love your brother, but sometimes Henry's a little too straightforward. And that's how I took it, as Henry did not read Frank's sarcasm. You know, and it's just
he's kind of like Drax, you know? Sometimes he takes things, a lot of the times, I would say 90% of the times, he takes things too seriously and too goes literally. Just too hard. Yeah, too literally. But it was funny to see that, though, because Frank, to me, it sounded like Frank was trying to sound like he knew what he was talking about, which is also something Frank does. And it sounds like it looked to me like Henry, you know, kind of, you know, shut him down in his the way Henry does, you know, very kind of straight laced and, you know, super, you know, committed to the argument, you know, too hard, you know, in most cases.
I had a comment typed out, but then I didn't send it. I was like, nah, you know what? It's not working.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, man.
What? How the fuck did we get on cars anyway? Long, that was a fair call.
Long asked about the Lightning. It's fast. Anything electric's going to be fast, you know. But
all about the torque.
Just messing.
You know what? I was just talking about how I have to come to change with my figures. Old school car elitists and stuff are going to have to come to change with the wave of the future. I mean, you know, a lot of these car industries and companies, you know, by 2030. Or so in the next 10 years, gas is going away if they can help it. Everything's going to go electric and different fuels, you know. I mean, you're always going to have a need for gas, but in the next 10 to 15 years, it's going to change quite a bit. So the old school car enthusiasts have to get used to the change as well, you know. So it is what it is.
They'll probably be like, you ever seen robots? You know, where they just stop making parts for the old robots and make them the animated movie, and they make them force them to upgrade.
Come to that, yeah. I think it's a long time before we get to that, that industry is going to have a lot of change in the next 10 years to make things more fuel efficient and environmentally friendly. So,
yeah.
Oh well, doesn't mean you can't own an old school car. Just means the newer stuff's going to be a little different. So,
yep.
Anyway. That's enough about cars. the Rebel Car Podcast. Let's get into today's show officially. Where we download this, where we tell people what we streamed, watched, or played this week. And I didn't watch much. I'll go first, I guess. I did watch the third episode of The Bad Batch. I know the fourth one's out. Man, I kind of like this show so far. You know, it's a different take on the Star Wars universe as we follow these clones that were a little different than the rest of the clones as they are, you know, surviving in a post-Order 66 environment. And it's pretty interesting stuff so far. They give each clone the unique personalities. There's a really brutal moment in Episode 3 for Star Wars where one of the clones that was recaptured by the Empire has to do something that... is a little taken back by his character, and I was like, wow, that's for Star Wars, it was pretty brutal. And so far, so good, man. It looks like Dave Filoni and his crew have another well-written, huge hit on their hands.
A newly promoted,
you know,
Dave Filoni.
Somewhat. He was already kind of in that position. They just made it official. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't want to get...
I personally haven't had the desire to watch the show.
I forgot about
it. It's good, man. I just, you know, I'm not going to get into the... I'm so sick and tired of the fanboys on the internet and the whole Dave Filoni should take over, get rid of Kathleen Kennedy thing. It's tiresome. It's not worth it. Kathleen Kennedy is making that company a shit ton of money. She's not going anywhere, no matter what the little internet fanboys want, okay?
Yeah.
Filoni and Favreau and Kennedy are going to be a unit. They're going to work together. and they're going to try to accomplish things, and fanboys can just suck it. Kennedy's not going anywhere, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, for me, I haven't watched it because I'm done with the whole Clone Wars era. I'm done because like I just want to see what's new, you know, beyond the sequel trilogy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I want to see new material, new continuity. And yes, I know that they're doing the High Republic thing, and that's totally new ground, but it's still in the past. I want to see stuff that's post, you know, Return of the Jedi stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more interested in, what's happening currently. I want a Star Wars Next Generation now.
Yeah. Well, I am excited. I think the Obi-Wan series is going to be good. I think Ewan McGregor would not have even come back if it wasn't. Ewan's pretty in touch with Star Wars and what's going on in that universe. And if Ewan didn't feel that it could be worthwhile and well done, I don't think he would have done it. So I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christensen's in it, too. Yeah. So I'll be interested if he's just going to be under the Vader makeup the whole time.
But I totally get the being a little tired of the prequel era. You know, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think I also am watching The Bad Batch kind of just because it's Star Wars, you know. And yeah. But I understand that too. It's like, you know, I want to see some stuff we haven't touched on before. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong though. I don't mind seeing original trilogy ish stuff either.
Right. You know?
But I'm just done with the Clone Wars.
I think that's
era.
What I liked Rebels so much for because it felt more like it took place during the original trilogy. Since it was just a few years.
Just a few years. Yeah.
And I think that is what made Rebels really enjoyable. It felt closer to the original trilogy than the Clone Wars cartoon did.
What about you, Matt? Do you like Clone Wars era stuff, original trilogy stuff, or sequel stuff?
I like Clone Wars stuff. More Jedi, more lightsabers. You have armies on each side. You have a droid army. You have a clone army. And I know you have an army on both sides over there. I just kind of like the betrayal, you know, a young emperor, a young Anakin, you know, and the Clone Wars. Okay.
So you have more of an emotional attachment to Clone Wars era stuff?
Yeah.
That you grew up on it?
Yeah. I mean, I started it.
That makes sense.
I started my Star Wars addiction with the original trilogy. But whenever I was, you know, in my teens, I saw the Clone Wars and they kind of stuck with me. And I really liked Revenge of the Sith and you know, Anakin and Darth Vader, you know, one of the same, obviously, but one of my favorite characters and just really liked anything that had to do with them, you know. Give me anything Vader.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else did you watch, Mark? Is that it?
I did finish watching that Fire and Ice movie I told you I started watching.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's I have like this love for like retro animation. I always have, and it's one of those movies. It's not a great animated movie, but it definitely has that cult classic feel to it, you know, with the Frank Frazetta inspired art and the chick walking around the entire movie in a thong bikini despite there being ice everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's a fun movie. You know, it's not terrible. It's not great either. It's kind of middle of the road type stuff. You know, Robert Rodriguez has been toying with the idea of doing a live action remake of it. And I guess his production company has bought the rights and Ralph Bakshi, you know, animated the original as maybe involved as a producer if Rodriguez gets around to making it. But who knows if it'll ever happen. But it's cool stuff. You know, I like that kind of weird kind of old-fashioned animation stuff. That's about it, really. Yeah. I didn't watch a whole lot of been kind of a busy week with work and then get home and making dinner and doing stuff and just didn't have time to sit down and watch much. So,
yeah. Well, I actually did two things this week. You'll be proud. Instead of the past month of nothing but getting my fish tank started, the first thing I did, I started playing World of Warships again online. They gave me a free premium time, so I was like, I started playing that. That's a little boring for y'all. After watching Man of Steel, I decided to watch the DC animated film Wonder Woman Bloodlines, and that's actually pretty good. It's a little, it's kind of a mess plot wise, but
yeah,
the action towards the end is really good.
Yeah, I didn't like that one as much. The action was okay, but yeah, the story's
yeah, it's a little disjointed. But the final fight scene with Medusa, was pretty good. Very brutal, too. That's the most brutal fight I've seen Wonder Woman in, as far as animation. But that was pretty good. That kind of made up for the pacing issues. That's about it. Oh, and I kind of watched a little bit of the original Christopher Reeve Superman as well.
So. Nice.
Yeah.
That was everything?
That's it.
Oh, okay. That was pretty good compared to last week, but you've gotten further along on your tank. So you're probably not tinkering around too much.
Yeah, you saw my picture.
Yeah.
So man, I was thinking about...
Really coming along.
Yeah. That Millennium Falcon, I like how it's in there.
Yes.
Thinking about putting an LED light underneath it for nighttime.
That would be cool.
Yeah, then I'll put some kind of driftwood or something behind it to make it look like it crashed against a tree or something. I don't know. I'm still working with it.
Definitely like it, man. It definitely looks cool.
Thank you.
And yeah, man, switching from Godzilla to Star Wars in your tank.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, it's kind of related to download this. On my YouTube channel, LT Primatron, I actually finally released a update video on the Godzilla tank.
Oh, nice.
It's a 15-minute vlog, so it's more of a stream of thought, but kind of gives a rundown on the fish, the plants, and all the ordeals I had with the tank. So, but yeah.
Nice, man.
If you guys ever get a chance, check it out. So.
Yeah, so you know, I've been playing
on to you, Matt.
I've been playing a lot of Resident Evil Village this week, and I've gotten farther. And man, I can tell you, I've just been genuinely creeped out on some of these boss levels. I mean, there's this one where they use this like special flower to make you hallucinate, think you see your wife, which is dead. And you're trying to get your kid back, basically. And, you know, there's this part in the level where the lights go out and you've just got your flashlight. You don't have your weapons because they were taken. And you're trying to get to this elevator. But this, like, mutated baby with an umbilical cord, you know, dragging behind it is, like, trying to get you. And it pops up in the dark. Like, you know, think about just something being pitch black. And then I sent you the picture. But you got to watch the video. It's creepy as heck. And you're just like running around, hiding under a bed, you know, got to get past this thing. And just the sounds, man, just this Resident Evil game just nails it. It's got the best of the first four Resident Evils in there. And a storyline continued from Resident Evil 7. And Ethan Winters, the character just grows on you. He's becoming a fan favorite on a lot of people. You know, I can't wait to see how it pans out. I've been staying away from spoilers of how it ends, but I'm almost there. I'm on the fourth of five bosses, and I'm kind of halfway through the level, so... I'll probably have it beat by next week, most likely, because after we record today, I'm probably going to spend an hour on it at least. Other than that, me and the wife watched Training Day with Denzel and Ethan Hawke. It's still entertaining to me. I just wanted her to watch it because I feel like it's one of those movies you got to watch because there's still some cool references to that movie. You know, whenever he's with the Hispanics, he's in the hood, and they're asking Ethan Hawke if he's ever had his shit pushed in, and she's like, "What the hell?" Like, yeah, dude, this movie is messed up, man. Denzel's messed up. The people that are loyal to him are messed up, and Ethan's like this choir boy, basically, and he's like. You know.
Oh, you're talking about Training Day?
Training Day, yeah.
Oh, okay,
Ethan Hawke's character. Not Ethan Winters, Ethan Hawke. But yeah, we watched that. She liked it. And
I only like it for the Eva Mendes scene.
Oh, yeah, dude. And, yeah. There's a scene where he pops up on him. She looked like she was helping him catch money or count money in the nude. And you see a little bit of her booty. But that's all they give you of her.
Thank you, Matt, for that Mr. Skin's description.
Yep, Mr. Skin here.
It's a little booty.
A little booty. But in case you were wondering about Eva Mendes in that film and you were going to try and watch it, yeah, there's not a whole lot of her in that film. There's more of Ethan Hawke's ass in there than hers. But other than that, what did I watch? I watched something. Oh, I watched Batman versus Superman. That's right. I watched it right after. And I'll comment on it because I feel like
the Ultimate Edition or the theatrical cut.
The theatrical cut. Mm. Yeah, I know.
The Ultimate Edition was better.
Yeah, it was.
It was better fleshed out than the theatrical cut.
Better storyline. But I think it's cool how they,
it's just more fleshed out.
Yeah, they basically make him, out to be, Jesus or God, and then he ends up sacrificing himself for the good of mankind. So another Jesus reference. But we'll talk about those little references and when we break down the film. That's all I got, really. That's all I got, man.
Well, then let's get into today's feature film, which is what year did this come out? I already forgot.
2013.
It was 2013? It's been that long? Wow.
Yeah.
So, 2013, Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan, his producer, were rebooting DC. They were going to make a DC Universe in the light of the success of the Marvel Universe. And the DC Universe still loosely exists in film, but it's kind of going through some reboots of its own right now. And they were going to reboot it with arguably one of the most popular superheroes of all time. And that is, of course, Superman in 2013's Man of Steel. And I guess I have it summarized in a bit. This version, we starts on Krypton, like a lot of versions of Superman, as we see Jor-El in
a fantastic version of Krypton.
Yeah, a much more fleshed out version we've ever seen. As Jor-El realizes the planet has destroyed itself, and when the elders won't listen, he decides to send his son to another planet, just like in the classic origin story, with some twists done in this, some different versions. He basically hides the DNA of his planet inside Kal-El's body, and Zod is kind of onto him, and Zod is the general of the armies of Krypton. And he does not want Jor-El to go through with this because Zod's a little power hungry. He wants it all for himself. And Zod and Jor-El kind of have a loose, I wouldn't say friendship, but respect for each other until this happens. And it drives Zod over the edge, which gets Zod sent to the Phantom Zone and Kal sent to Earth as Krypton is destroyed. And then the origin takes a little bit different turn. We don't get that classic Superman origin as we meet up with Clark, where he's already a grown man, and we get a lot of his origin told through flashbacks in this film, which is a little bit different, and it's a different take. This version of Clark is more of a vagabond when he gets older, instead of staying around Smallville and in Metropolis until he finds his way, as he looks for guidance as to what it means to be this being with other powers, with godlike powers, I would say, as he goes on his way to become Superman. And when Zod gets out of the Phantom Zone, returns to Earth, demanding the Earth turnover Kal, that's when we kind of get Superman in this film. It's almost like Zod brings out the hero in Kal, and he becomes Superman to defend the Earth. And what unfolds is, some of the most epic battles in any superhero film. The action in this film is extraordinarily well done, I think. A lot of people, when this movie came out, and I think that's the best way to summarize this movie. A lot of people, when this came out, said it was too much action. They said, it's so funny because people complain about Superman. They said the Christopher Reeve movies were 1970s style, not enough action. Then Bryan Singer tried to reboot it with Superman Returns. People complained there's not enough action. Then Man of Steel came out, and people said it was too much action. I'm like, what do y'all want? But I feel that this movie does a really good job of balancing the development of Clark Kent and Lois Lane and Superman and the action, because the action really doesn't start until about an hour and 15 minutes into the film. So there's a lot of character development in this movie. So I'm not sure what people were complaining about. And so I'm here to totally defend this film because I think Man of Steel is way underrated. I remember walking out of the theater in 2013 and really liking this movie quite a bit. I thought it was freaking badass. It was a Superman movie that I always wanted to see. Full of action, great sequences. Michael Shannon is freaking awesome as Zod. I mean, he's just,
yeah,
he owns it, man. I mean, there's scenes in this movie where he was really pissed off, like, because he does a really good job in the role. He plays great villains. I mean, if you've seen him in The Shape of Water, you know he plays a great villain.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your guys' initial thoughts on Man of Steel? Now it's about 8, 9 years old.
I like it. No.
Thank you for that great review.
My homage to Frank.
Yeah. I don't know if Frank would say that. He would just say, yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Followed by some hesitation. The thing, you know, with the
S. In response to Mark's question, I was blown away by the film personally. I really enjoyed it when I sat in the theater. There was, until the very last scene, I was pretty much on a wild ride. It was definitely a roller coaster. And I just loved how Zack Snyder shot the film, the way he shoots action, especially the superhero, you know, epic fights. He made them feel so big, and such, I don't know, it's so impactful.
Well, yeah.
The way he films CGI, you know, it doesn't feel like it's flat or anything, yeah, or cheap looking.
I felt this is one of the few superhero movies where I feel like it feels like Titans going at it. Even in the Avengers films, yeah, there's consequences, but even those films, it feels like there's something holding back the impact of it, you know? They still feel standard action. Where Snyder, man, you feel the impact of these characters going at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel like run-of-the-mill standard ILM type CGI action, you know? It just feels very impactful the way it's shot. Slightly, you know, a bit intimate in a way too. And also, I love the score. I think the
music is great.
Junkie XL gets a lot of inspirations from this score, but the Hans Zimmer score has a melody to it, which I like. It's a very simple melody, and it really adds to all of the scenes in the film. Especially when, you know, Superman was underneath the World Engine.
Yeah.
But what else?
They were really trying to capture the Dark Knight experience with this film, you know.
Were they? Yeah.
They got one of the writers right from
David Dark Goyer.
Yeah. They got Christopher Nolan to produce. They got Hans Zimmer, the same person who scored. It's like, and they got another dark and gritty director for a bright and, you know, lightful superhero up until now, which is in Zack Snyder, you know, 300, Sucker Punch, you know. Yeah. And I feel like you guys hit the nail on the head on all the good stuff. And I feel like what people may have issues with is the fact that Superman would not resist the call to action. The call to do what's right. Kenneth, his dad would not.
Kenneth.
Why did I say Kenneth? I was trying to say Kent. Jonathan Kent would not encourage Superman to possibly let a bus full of children die. What was I supposed to do, Dad? Let him die? Maybe. That's Jonathan Kent.
And that's. When I texted you guys, said I like 98% of this film.
Yeah.
The 2% I don't like is the Jonathan Kent stuff. I love Costner in the role. I think he's great.
Yes.
But yeah, I've always liked great. Costner.
But and you expect Costner to mail it in. He doesn't.
He has some great scenes in the movie where it's very emotional. He says, am I your son? Yes, of course you're my son. some really great stuff like that. But yes, Jonathan Kitt would never tell Clark to let someone die. You're absolutely right. And I can't stand the hurricane scene or tornado scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. the whole point in Clark is to feel helpless. He has all these great powers, and he couldn't save his dad from a heart attack. And Clark Kent, the way he was written from the 1930s up until even recent times, would not have let his dad die. And that's the 2% of the film I don't like, is those scenes. He would never have told Clark to let the boy die, and he would never, and Clark would have saved his dad. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the only two things. And I think they carry a lot of weight with people because they're for an hour of this film, Clark resists the call to action.
You know, well, unless, is it so much resist? Or was it so much resist, or he's unsure?
Well, to reveal himself, to become Superman.
Right.
I feel like if you are Christopher Reeve, you're sure of yourself. You are Superman. You're out there saving babies. You know, I feel like he needed this push, and you don't want Superman to need a push to become Superman. But of course, it is derived from the world around him. It's not.
That doesn't bother me too much, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a small thing that might, you know, make people be like, well, you know, I don't know if I like that. But everything else. And the only other thing is that I don't think Superman would have let the city be destroyed like that. But they did it for action purposes, so I get why the city was destroyed. They needed it to lead into something bigger, which was, you know, Justice League. But, you know, Christopher Reeve, you know, an oil tanker is headed towards a building and he's catching it, you know, and setting it down nice and neat. You know, he doesn't want a city to be destroyed.
Well, yeah, I think they wanted to try. They were trying to get this version to get away from the Boy Scout version a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, this version of Superman played by Henry Cavill, who's excellent in our Cavill. Again, like, he even destroys a $12 billion drone at the end of the film, and it's like, I don't care. I mean, it's like, I'm sitting thinking, $12 billion, sir, man. He doesn't give a shit. they were trying to make him a little more edgy, and that's okay. You know, that didn't bother me either.
No.
The Boy Scout Superman works in the Christopher Reeve movies, and it's great. I mean, two of those films from Christopher Reeve are in my top five today. So, I mean, I like those films a lot too, but I also see why they, wanted some different takes on this version of Superman, you know?
Yeah. And
that's the flip side of that. The fanboys complain about Superman's a Boy Scout and this and that, but then you give him a different version and you still have some fanboys that complain a little bit.
Exactly. And I think you take note of those things, but ultimately this is a movie you can enjoy. And it's a movie that's underrated, like you said. Yeah, you know, maybe it has, some things that aren't, you know, exactly with continuity or with tradition. But, you know, there's definitely some cool things in there that you normally wouldn't have gotten with a Superman film.
The last hour and 15 minutes of this film is exhilarating. And it's greatly exciting, you know. I mean, it goes by quick, but it's so much fun to watch all the action.
Oh, and another new thing. Everyone's afraid of him.
Well, they're not. Well, yeah. But I think that's a good take. Because if this was to be real and happen in reality, people would be a little afraid of him. This guy with his powers and not knowing what to think of him. And so I actually kind of like that stuff where, you know, he's trying to gain the trust of the government. They're trying to trust him because a lot of that's often ignored in the comics. So it's kind of good to see that tackled in the movies a little bit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just trying to play devil's advocate there. That doesn't bother me, but from what I read on some forums, that's a small nitpick that people had. But, you know, that's exactly what it is. It's nitpicking. You know, if you look at this movie in entirety, great performances. Yeah, you may not like the setting or maybe some of the themes in there, but great action. You've got the best depiction of Krypton so far. And Russell Crowe's great. You know, Zod, I think, is a better Zod. I do like Superman 2 Zod, but I think, you know, he might, you know, Shannon, because you get some more of him other than just them on trial sneaking around in a dark room, you know, and then getting thrown into a mystical square.
I think,
in space.
Well, I think Shannon plays him with more of a classic general who's he's got a certain motivation and he sticks to it. Where Terrence Stamp was given a little bit more of a different way to approach it, you know. But I think they both do good in their own right to what they, you know. I'm not going to knock Terrence.
Kneel before Zod. Yeah,
Terrence Stamp had some great lines too, you know.
He did.
So I think they both did a good job with the character of Zod.
I do like this more militarized version of Zod because I feel like he depicts the general better. But like you said, both a strong Zod. Yeah.
And I like the fact that Shannon Zod goes toe to toe with Superman more than Stamps did. Stamp used things like throwing signs, using the people against him. He never really went toe to toe with Superman, you know.
Yeah.
It was more using his surroundings to his advantage. And I kind of like the mano a mano fight between Zod and Superman and Man of Steel more, you know.
That's true.
It's certainly quite a fight to the point where, and Zod's a bit of a showboat too. He does this weird thing and knocks all his armor off and is like, I'm going to kick your ass without armor, you know. So there's some showboating like that in the movie.
Yeah, it gave me it made me think of Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z. Whenever he would throw his armor down, now he's like a whole lot faster or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, that was the first time I've thought about it that way. I was like, does he get faster? I was like, is that armor heavier? You know, it probably doesn't matter because they're all like friggin' super dudes, you know, on planet Earth. So it's probably, you know, not much of a hindrance.
Yeah. My favorite scene is, for some reason, I enjoy watching the Smallville battle scene.
Yeah.
That 15-20 minute action sequence. And I don't know. I just like how they tore up that poor small town with the A-10 airplanes coming in with their Gatling guns and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Tank buster guns.
Yeah.
And that still didn't kill the Kryptonians, you know. Does a pretty good job of elevating how high the stakes are after the battle was done with.
Right.
Yeah, and then, of course, you don't often see a freight train being thrown at someone so casually.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what else? But my biggest problem with the movie was definitely, it's not a problem, it had to be done, it's kind of logical, where he had to kill Zod before he killed the family.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me.
Well,
you know, because Superman in the comics and in, I don't know, and even some of the original movies, he definitely emphasized of not the don't kill rule.
Well, the more I watch Man of Steel, I've come to accept that part of the movie.
Yeah.
And he anguishes over it right afterwards. He screams in agony. He's upset with what he had to do. You know, and it's not like you could tell he didn't want to do it, but he realized he had no choice. And it sits better. When I first saw Man of Steel, I was like, wow, that was kind of fucked up. But the more I see the film, I've come to be okay with that. It doesn't bother me really anymore, you know. It's more of a modern version of Superman that's had to do what he felt was right to save people, because he knew Zod was never going to stop. And that's the biggest, in mentioning that, is the biggest reason I want a Man of Steel 2. I'd like to see the continuation of how Henry Cavill's Clark Kent Superman dealt with what he had to do.
Didn't they do that in Batman versus Superman?
He talks about it a little bit, yeah. But yeah, I never felt like we got so rushed into the Doomsday Wonder Woman thing that I felt like we never really got to feel more of him accepting his role as Superman and being a savior. And we could talk about that all day. The failures of the DC expanded universe of them trying to rush things and get to Justice League quickly. We all know it would have been so much better if we had a Man of Steel sequel, a solo Batman film, then bring them all together. I had no problem the way they introduced Wonder Woman, Batman vs. Superman. That was fine. But it felt like we were missing just a couple more films to flesh all that out.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been done a better job. You know?
Yeah. You can blame Warner Brothers for that.
Oh, sure. Like I said, we can sit here all day and talk about why the DC universe hasn't worked. But the DC film universe isn't all bad. We've had some good films, and this is one of them. I really, really like Man of Steel quite a bit. Rewatch it this week. It's still just, I think it's just as exciting, you know, 8 years later. I think it's a super exciting film with some great action sequences.
We'll never see a Fiora versus Wonder Woman movie, will we?
Probably not. Yeah.
No.
That would have been I would have paid money to go watch that.
And but this is a good Superman film. I think it's if I was to rank it, I give it. I think this is an A. I mean, I like this movie a lot. I think it's action packed and it's well done. And I think people are starting to come around to it now. And they should have given it more of a fair shake when it first came out, because I think it's really good. Henry Cavill's excellent in the role, and I hope he gets another shot at Superman. You know, it's hard to replace someone like Christopher Reeve, but I don't think Henry tries. I think he just does his own version of it, and it works. He also makes all the men of the world feel very jealous with his shirtless scene. I'm just like, that's not fair, Henry. Why do you have to do that?
He took the dude's clothes.
It's like, damn you. You make us all feel awful.
Couldn't he just fly with his junk swinging in the air until he got home?
No one says that, man.
Yeah, nobody.
No one says that. Anyways, I give it an A minus. There are some story beats that kind of took me out of the film, but most of it is pretty good. The action and all that. I like Superman being a symbol of hope in this film. And yeah, A minus. I like it.
Yeah, I'm with Long. A minus, just for the small story stuff. I mean, come on, Lois Lane should be drilling over this guy when, you know, she sees him, not like, oh my god, you know, it's a super dude. It's like, no, dude, that's like McDreamy, but Margot Kidder would be all over that.
I think she played it pretty down the middle.
Yeah, I know. She warmed up to him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if Zack Snyder will ever come back to the whole DC cinematic scene ever again.
Yeah.
Considering he said he had to endure a lot of abuse, even when he was doing his Snyder Cut thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, they treated him like shit. And I'm like, fuck Warner Brothers, man. What the hell?
Definitely makes you look at Joss Whedon different.
I think this is Snyder's best film overall, possibly. I enjoyed the director's cut of Justice League, but I think you think of the movies he's made, Dawn of the Dead and 300 and Watchmen, I still probably find Man of Steel the most accessible, most enjoyable. You know, I do like 300. 300's a fun movie, but I think Man of Steel might be his best movie. You
know? Definitely.
Yeah. Sucker Punch is my guilty pleasure.
I do it like Sucker Punch. Yeah.
I wonder why. Girls is
gonna be yep. I don't know why either.
Well, we have covered every Superman film on the show except Superman Returns, which at some point I imagine we would cover Superman Returns. And so we thought we would rank the Superman films that we've had so far. And we included animated films if we wanted in this, because DC has done a lot of Superman animated films as well. I started last week. Who wants to start the top five this week?
I'll start. My number five is an animated film, Superman versus the Elite. It was a very good, kind of a character study film. It's one of the older DC animated films, too. It came out over 10 years ago. Yeah. Where, you know, you have Superman's way of being a hero versus the more modern take of being an edgy hero. In the Elite, where they just kill people right then and there, you know, versus Superman's no-kill rule. And I think the way the movie resolves itself shows how Superman outwits them, the whole team.
The last 20 minutes of that movie are amazing.
Yeah, when they just don't know what the hell to do. They're like, oh my god, we've awakened a sleeping bear, you know?
Sleeping monster, yeah. He could do it, but he won't do it, you know. That's Superman versus the Elite. My number five.
I've got.
Who's next?
Yeah, I give more praise to the live action, I guess. Maybe it's the nostalgia, but I have number five as Superman 3. I know it's not clearly not the best Superman film, but there's some parts that I really like in that film. And I know Mark likes the drunk Superman film, the drunk Superman part, and just where he fights himself, you know, and then the Lana Lang storyline, even though he never, you know, gets his mark with Lana. I just think I feel it's a guilty pleasure Superman film, and I've got it at number five.
For honorable mentions, I have Long's number five, Superman vs. Elite, and also I enjoy Superman Returns. I know it gets some hatred, but there's a lot of liking that movie.
I forgot that movie exists.
Yeah,
honestly,
yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Superman kid thing in it, but overall, I enjoy the film for the most part. But at number five, I have an animated film, and I have a Superman Unbound, where he takes on Brainiac.
Yeah,
that's another one of those animated Superman films. For the last 20 minutes of it, are just quite amazingly done with some great action, as he has to find a way to outsmart Brainiac, who is super smart, and really well done. And that also got me thinking, also Superman Apocalypse, that could have been another honorable mention, because that's another film with some great Superman action. But Superman Unbound at number five are the DC animated universe of films.
Okay, my number four is actually a little bit higher than Matt's ranking, but I put it at Superman 3. And I remember this is like the only Superman movie I actually saw in the theaters when I was a kid. And the scene of the cyborg, the lady becoming a cyborg, scared the sweet bejesus out of me when I was a kid. And, watching Superman overcome the scary robot lady was a pretty cool moment for me personally. And, yeah, and Richard Pryor, you know,
yeah,
he did the best he could in that film. And this was like the Superman where Christopher Reeve really knows what to do with the character, and you know, I just like it.
He's very comfortable in the role, man. And it just really showed his range. I mean, playing the bad Superman, getting it on with the girl, you know, and then the drunk Superman, all kinds of Superman, like five personalities. Yeah. So yeah, man, you definitely hit the nail on the head in the horror movie aspect of it. The cyborg chick, it turns into a horror movie for a little moment there, you know?
Yeah.
Number four for me, I've got the animated Death of Superman 2018. I really liked how Doomsday had to go through the entire Justice League, and then Superman leaves an I Love You note with Lois, and he goes on to take on Doomsday and, you know, of course, goes into the coma, you know, it's a good animated film, and maybe I have it too high, but it's definitely an A in my book, and I enjoy it. Love the action.
And were you peeking at my sheet? Because I have that at four also. I do think that Death of Superman from a couple years ago is an excellent Superman film and animated film. An animated film with an emotional impact. Like, you actually go through the emotion of him finding Doomsday as a viewer, and it's emotional when he dies in that movie. And I thought, you know, the DC universe at that point, there had been a few, you know, kind of slow ones in the DC universe, and they rebounded with Death of Superman, and that is a really, it might be one of the top two or three of the animated movies they've made over the last, you know, 20 years since they made these animated films. So Death of Superman is really,
that's good. High praise.
Oh, it's really good. Death of Superman, you haven't seen it yet long?
No.
If it's on HBO Max, watch. I highly recommend watching. It's really well done.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I think it's excellent.
Batman is even fighting Doomsday in that film a little bit. I mean, as much as he can.
It's really good.
Is that your turn, Mark?
That was my number four also.
Oh, was it? Okay. Number three, it's a DC animated film, and it is the Batman Superman Apocalypse movie.
Yes.
And they have Supergirl crash lands on Earth, and Superman trying to figure out ways to
Kora.
figure out ways to raise her right and then Wonder Woman comes into the picture and says, no, she's not ready to be in man's world with her powers. She needs to be on Themyscira with other powerful, you know, superpowered women in order to keep her and, you know, raise her right. You know, and that was a pretty cool angle. And the original comic book story was written by, what's his name? Michael Scott? What's his name? The guy who created Gen 13 and...
J. Scott Campbell?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, his art was translated as best it could into that movie. And then you have Big Barda, and then you have the awesome Furious Five versus Wonder Woman and Big Barda scene.
Yes.
Superman versus freaking, what's his name again? Darkseid. Two different scenes. The farmhouse rumble. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite Superman movies. It's more of a Superman Batman movie, but still. I mean, still, it being voiced by the Justice League Unlimited voice actor too, George Newbern, and Kevin Conroy.
Oh yeah,
as Batman.
Yeah, Conroy is voicing Batman in that film.
Yeah, but that's my number three.
Number three for me, I've got the original Superman, Christopher Reeve. I think it's the campiness that started it all. I feel like, you know, he's the embodiment of what a comic book Superman should be, and a hell of a Clark Kent. You know, I know he's early on in the role in this one, hasn't found his, you know, he hasn't gotten comfortable just yet in this movie, but it's a good movie, solid, and it's one a lot of people remember.
Plus, it's a blueprint,
yeah,
for superhero movies,
yeah,
too. And how to do it right.
Yeah, my top three are all kind of almost interchangeable because I like all these movies for different reasons.
Same.
I don't know if I like any of them more than the other, but at number three, I have the movie we covered today, and that's Man of Steel. Just a solid Superman film, some incredible action. Some of them, I mean, despite all the action we've had in the Marvel Universe over the last, you know, 12 years, you know, we've got some amazing Marvel scenes on film. Some of the action Man of Steel is my favorite. I just love, like you said, from the Smallville sequence to the battle between Zod and Superman in Metropolis. I just think it's some of the best action we've had in modern superhero films. And I think it's excellent.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best superhero films that we've gotten from DC as of late. You know, of course, it came after Dark Knight Rises, so
yeah.
Okay, so my number two is Man of Steel. Same points. I've talked enough about it in our feature film, but Man of Steel, action packed, some good emotional beats, and great score, and Fiora. So. Go ahead, Matt. Number two.
Number two for me, I've got Man of Steel. And really, I feel like it's interchangeable with my number three. I'm like you, Mark. These films, I feel like, are pretty close together. You know, I know we just spoke a lot about it, but I feel like, you know, just minor issues, you know, like we talked about, but it's a really good film. It's number two for me.
At number two, I have Superman the movie, the original from 1979. We were introduced to Christopher Reeve, and a lot of it's nostalgic purposes. Superman, I grew up with watching, and Christopher embodied the character and gave us Clark Kent Superman on the big screen for the first time, and it's always going to have a special place in the memories of superhero films. And like Long said, it was a blueprint for things to come. And it remarkably holds up very well even today. You know, it's still a great film. The television extended version fleshes out a lot of things in the movie even more. John Williams' unforgettable score just drives the film and makes it even that much more memorable. And so at number two, I have Superman the movie.
Nice. Well, my number one is not very predictable. It's predictable, but I combined the two movies since they were shot back to back, and it's the original Superman 1 and 2. Both theatrical cuts. I know there's a Donner cut for Superman 2, but some of the endings and some of the changes in the Richard Lester cut for Superman 2 made more sense to me and had a little bit better emotion.
Well, sure.
Between Lois and Clark.
But to be fair to the Donner cut, it's not really complete. It's just what they have best.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Version
to see
for
what
sure.
Could have been. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my number one pick. The Christopher Reeve Superman 1 and 2.
Nice. For me, it's specifically 2. I mean, we all know it wasn't going to be Returns. Although, fun fact about Returns, if you've listened to the show enough and I've talked about it before, my cousin Jessica and her cousin Heather were in Vegas, and they were, you know, having a girls' week in Vegas. They were really close, and this guy walks up to her at the bar, at this nice bar in Vegas, starts talking to her, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to be in a movie. You know, I'm going to be in a Superman movie. You know, this is me in the costume. And she was like, whatever. It's just some whack, you know, some quack from Vegas, you know, trying to, you know, impress me or something. And she just, you know, she gave him a fake number and just left. And that person was Brandon Routh. She turned down.
She blew him off.
She blew off Brandon Routh because she didn't believe, you know, that he was really going to be Superman. And,
poor
and Mark. Yeah.
Brandon's yeah. fine in the movie. He does a good job, you know. Just the movie just didn't turn out the way it wanted it to.
He did return to the role of Superman in the Infinite Crisis on television, yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But I remember mentioning, Mark, that he got the role because Donner thought that no one would believe he was Superman, that he would be a good Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have Superman 2 at number one also. Man, this, from my earliest memories as a kid, it's the downtown sequence at the end of the film against Zod and all that. Man, I just remember being maybe 5 or 6 years old and watching that and being completely blown away by it. And I still think Superman 2 is fantastic. You know, I like the Donner cut for what if it could have been, but like you, Long, I'm partial to Lester cut because that's where I grew up watching. Even the cheesy throwing the chest thing off of him, you know.
Yeah, the cellophane-esque.
But, but it's so comic bookish too, you know. Yeah. Neil before Zod, you know, Terrence Stamp, that's one. And Superman 2 is just Superman 2 is not just a great Superman film. It's a great comic book movie. It's a great movie. It's really, you know, it's solid from beginning to end, and I like the movie quite a bit.
I like when he gives up his powers, he gets beaten up, and then when he gets his powers back, he goes back and beats and throws the guy into the pinball machine. And he's I'll happily pay for the damages. I've been working out, and he does it all nerdy, you know? And he's just so great in the role, man. Such a great Clark Kent, great Superman, you know?
And I think Ursa's kind of hot, too.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Even the guy who played Non or whatever he's saying, even he's talked about over the years, like, you know, he's very grateful for the role because he, you know, he never had much of a career in acting. He, you know, he was always hired as a thug and things like that. But, mm-hmm. but he was very grateful to Richard Donner and them hiring him to play that because he was able to make a living off of it by appearing at conventions and stuff. And so, you know, and same with her, the lady who played
Ursa.
Even she's very grateful too, you know, to be in that movie. And
she was in Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, she was in Conan. She's actually appeared in quite a few things over the years and like little character roles that you just might not recognize her in. But so Superman 2, man, it's just a good movie. In fact, I bought digital copies one day when they had them on sale of Superman because it's hard to get the theatrical version on Blu-ray. Because you have to buy like the expensive box sets, or a really expensive out of print single Blu-ray, and I wanted a high definition version of Superman 2 because you can get the Donner cut on Blu-ray pretty easily, But the theatrical cut's not easy to find, so in order to get it on high definition, I just bought it on Vudu. Because I wanted to have the theatrical version. But, cool. So we're all in agreement on our number one, basically. We'll long combine the two. But that's okay. I'll allow it. I'll allow a tie today, Long.
You and your honorable mentions, you're like tacking on three or four honorable mentions every week now. What the heck, Mark? No, I'm joking.
A lot of the news revolves around DC this week and Henry Cavill, but we're going to start real quick. We forgot to mention this last week. The Venom trailer for Let There Be Carnage came out. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the first Venom movie with Tom Hardy. I do own a copy of it because I got it for like $5 on Black Friday.
Oh, nice.
I like the Venom stuff in the movie, and I like Hardy. I just think the movie could have been better. But I think there's enough there with Hardy and the character that I think a sequel could be cool, and it's directed by Andy Serkis. But I think it's pretty badass to finally see Carnage on the big screen. I think that's probably why I'm excited, because I remember being a big comic fan when Carnage appeared in the comics for the first time, and it was a big deal. And I actually have his first appearance somewhere. Might have to dig that out and sell that son of a bitch, because it's going through the roof right now because of this Carnage going to appear in the movie. So hopefully it's better than the first one. But the first one made a ton of money, and that's why they made a sequel. You know?
Yeah.
So the first one's not terrible. It's a fun movie. It just could have been better, you know? So I know, Long, you never did watch it, did you?
I have no desire to see it.
Hatred for Sony.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. But, hatred for Sony.
Although I will give him props for Blade Runner, sequel.
Sony did that. Give him credit.
No, it was Sony.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was a good. Within cells interlinked. Within cells interlinked.
Yep.
Batman and Superman are going to be returning to animated form on HBO Max and the Cartoon Network. We're going to get a Superman story where it tells stories of Superman in his 20s. And as he's kind of, we talked about in Man of Steel, how he's learning to be Superman. It's kind of what the show's going to deal with, apparently, where he's kind of learning how to be Superman as all these villains start appearing and wanting to destroy him. So that could be interesting. And then Batman is going to come back to animated form. And Bruce Timm is returning to help produce and make this new animated series. That's about all we have really from it so far. It's just an announcement of the shows and that they're coming to HBO Max. And so, you know, there's been a lot of rumors that Batman the Animated Series was going to return in some form. So I'm starting to get the vibe that this Batman Caped Crusader show might be a spiritual sequel to the animated series. It's kind of the vibe I was getting from things I was reading. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I did see the promo poster for the Batman show.
Yeah.
And
then, you know, The Long Halloween is coming to animated form with part one and part two. And with that, DC, you know, they usually announce their next animated films at Comic-Con, or they did at DC Fandome this year, which they are going to have DC Fandome again in August. But they kind of let the cat out the bag that they're making an Injustice animated film. No word whether it's based on the storyline from the video games or the storyline from the comics, where Superman is basically what reigns over Earth for a while, or something, or Apocalypse or something like that. He's kind of an evil version. So we'll see. But very popular comic series and video games. So an Injustice animated film is coming out. So it could be cool. And then the last bit of news is Henry Cavill is circling making Highlander. You know, this Highlander reboot has been rumored for several years now. Everyone from Ryan Reynolds to other actors have been attached to this. And but the director, John Wick, is now attached to the film pretty firmly. And they've got a script ready. And apparently Henry Cavill has read the script and is very interested in doing it. And he posted on his social media that he was a big fan of Highlander back when he was a kid. And apparently he's looking to star in the film. I kind of went from not caring about a Highlander reboot as a big fan to maybe this could not be as bad as we think, you know, with Henry Cavill starring in it and Chad's, I'm not even going to try to say his last name, from John Wick, directing the film. So might give it a shot.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm over Highlander as a show. Well, I don't really care until I get season two of The Witcher, damn it.
Well, that's coming. He just wrapped production on that, so I guess he's looking for a project since he wrapped production. So it's coming. Don't worry. Witcher's on its way. That's all the news I got. So let's preview next.
I'd be happy with Henry Cavill joining the Star Wars universe, though.
Yes.
I definitely would watch that. But I think MCU is trying to court Henry Cavill into that bolt, too. But we'll see.
Yeah. Henry Cavill. What would he be in Star Wars? Like a villain? I don't know.
He would make a good villain.
I don't know.
Darth Revan.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of past stuff. I want, post-sequel stuff. I want new shit. I'm tired of them digging them to past all the time.
Well, next week, we reach 250 episodes. That's a milestone, for sure. That's a lot of episodes. A boatload, as some people might say. So we're going to celebrate a little bit, 7 years of the show next week, and a unique top five, as we might look back on the Rebel Radio over the 250 episodes. And we're going to talk a very fun movie, which is a sequel prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Indiana Jones.
This is serious!
From Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. Indiana Jones. And the Temple of Doom.
You don't believe me. You will, Dr. Jones.
Yes, I say sequel prequel because it came out after Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it's actually a prequel. It actually takes place before Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's not always everyone's favorite Indiana Jones movie because it's a little darker. But it's a fun Indiana Jones movie, and I think pretty good, too. I mean, there's the three original Indiana Jones films. You can't go wrong with any three of them. All three of them are excellent movies. So it's going to be a fun one to talk about next week, I think, on the show.
Yeah, that one's my first Indiana Jones movie.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a
Mr.
good one.
Mr. Jones.
Got an excellent.
No, he said Dr. Jones.
Dr. Jones.
The minecart sequence is excellent. The bridge sequence. Some really good stuff in this movie.
Won an Oscar for it.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun to talk about for our 250th episode. So we hope you join us next week on the show as we celebrate. And that's it for this week. As always, thank you for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your needs. And be safe out there. Until next week, this is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Kryptonian.
Remember, as always, just go there
and do it.
Do it.